From all of us to all of you, happy holidays.
Santa here. A very Merry Christmas and the happiest New Year. Ho, ho, ho.
You are listening to the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast with Aqua Alex. On the Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast, any and everything tropical fish and aquariums will be discussed. From freshwater to saltwater, cichlids to clownfish, Aqua Alex has you covered. What tropical fish topic is up for discussion today? Let's find out. Aqua Alex, take it away.
Hello, tropical fish keepers, and welcome to Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. I'm your host, Aqua Alex Cardinelli. Today's episode could possibly be the biggest of the year. I'm very excited to host this wonderful show. I have a wonderful present for all the fish keepers today. I have some wonderful special guests coming on the show today that I wanted to interview for a while, and today we're finally going to be doing that interview. Today's topic is going to be about some of my favorite fish. Monster predatory large growing freshwater fish. Fish like paku, red-tailed catfish, tiger shovelnose, and iridescent sharks. Many aquarists purchase these large growing fish because they think they are cute. Although 9 times out of 10, most beginner aquarists will purchase these large growing species of fish without the knowledge of knowing how big these fish end up getting. Some pet stores will commonly sell baby paku and red-tailed catfish, for example, but do not tell people how big the fish actually get. Oftentimes, some employees themselves might not know how big the fish gets. People think paku are cool because they are in the piranha family, and people fall in love with how cute red-tailed catfish are. People who get these fish often get stuck with them when they are too big to be rehomed. Some local fish stores will turn them away due to their size. This results in people illegally releasing their monster fish in ponds and rivers in the United States of America, where they won't survive due to cold natures and cold temperatures. However, in warmer USA climates like Florida, fish like paku, Oscars, clownknife, and peacock bass and others have become invasive. Our guest today know all too well about irresponsible fish keepers with monster fish. Fortunately, they are able to take in these large monster fish and provide them with good forever homes. I respect and admire everything our guests do for the aquarium hobby. They take in many different monster-sized large fish, like I said, such as pakus, red-tailed cat, tiger shovelnose, etc. They have many aquariums totaling over 1,000 gallons. You may have heard of their organization from Facebook or YouTube. Ohio Fish Rescue takes in all kinds of donations, large fish and small fish. They take them all. It is an honor and a privilege to have Ohio Fish Rescue on the show today. Please welcome Big Rich and Josh Price to Aquarium Hobbies Podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing pretty well over here. I'm doing good. I'm glad to have you guys on the show. It's an honor and a privilege.
Why, thank you. A couple things I'd like to say. We do take in bigger fish because the aquariums, public aquariums, and the public zoo stopped taking them in many years ago because of parasites, bacterial infections, all that kind of stuff. So if you've got a huge, you know, paku, you can't take it to your local zoo or public aquarium. They just won't take them no more. We started this because all my life I've had big tanks. My son growing up, his whole life we've had big tanks. And I've just acquired more as I've gotten older. You know the adage, the older you get, the bigger the toys, you know, that kind of thing. Well, I've acquired some big tanks. And right now we're at 17,000 gallons. I've been taking in fish anyways, but, you know, someone said, why don't you make it a nonprofit organization? And then you can start getting like Walmarts and all the big conglomerates to start donating food. And I'm telling you, it was like the clouds split in the sky. Sun started shining. I heard birds singing. It's like, why didn't I think of that? So we went through the whole thing of applying for the 501c3, and we became legit. And now we are Ohio Fish Rescue. And but it's no more than a couple of guys with some big tanks that take in big fish. We try and help the community in many ways, not just taking in oversized fish that are too big for your tanks, but, you know, say your house caught on fire. We've had a guy call and say, you know, his house caught on fire. Please come save these fish. They have no place to go. Well, we went there and we took the fish in and, you know, we found them all homes. Another way we help is we had this lady that was living with her boyfriend at her boyfriend's mother's house, and she said the tank had to go. Well, she didn't want to lose her fish or her tank, so we held them here. She brought the tank over, brought the fish over. We held them here for, close to a year. And finally, she got her own place, and she came back, and she was just so ecstatic to get her own tank back, not to mention it was fixed and added, you know, better lighting to it, and we gave her some other fish that was in there, and she just was loving life that she could. And we love things that we can help people like that. There's many ways that we help many different people. We take in small and big fish and, you know, do what we can to help the fish community.
That's awesome. It's pretty cool that you and your son got involved in the aquarium hobby. I was born a fish keeper too, as my dad had been keeping fish before me.
Yeah, that's always nice, a nice family fun thing. Me and his brother got into cars together, and I always, you know, loved big tanks. So we always had like a 300 growing up when the kids were small. But once we finished with the car business and my older son moved out, I got into something with my younger son, and he loved the fish. So we got a 1,000 gallon. Then we ended up going to what was that place called, Josh? H2O Aquatics. They were closing down, and we went there to buy their filtration system so I can put all of my tanks on one filtration and be a little bit easier instead of changing the water on like 10,000 gallons of different tanks. And while I was there, we ran across that 4,400 gallon tank, and nobody else bid on it, and we got it. So now I'm 10 hours away from the house. And I had told Josh, because, you know, I trust my kids explicitly. He can have a party while I'm gone, blah, blah, blah. Well, I had to call him and tell him, son, forget about that party. Tell your friends to go home. You have to go up to ABC Rental, rent a pickup truck and a car trailer, and get up here right now, 10-hour drive to New York, because I have a 4,400-gallon tank and a stand that weighs 3,500 gallons that I have to bring back. And I'm stuck here until you get here. It was crazy, but we did it. And, you know, since then we've been going to every auction of every pet store closing down and trying to buy, you know, the bigger tanks. And, we've done pretty well. So we've got plenty of room for big fish now.
But what most people don't really understand is that, this does take a lot of time. So when I come home from my day job, I work as an engineer for the city. I come home at nighttime, and then I spend from, you know, 4 until, and it could be all night long until midnight if, you know, it's permitting, depending on what's going on at the rescue. But my dad spends all his time, all day, all night. My mom is there. We have friends that come over and help us. So there's many people who try and chime in and ask us how we got started and, you know, how easy it is to run a fish rescue. And we tell them it's not really easy, that it takes all your time, all your effort. You know, you're constantly getting in all these fish that you're rescuing. You're talking to hundreds and thousands of people all day long. You're trying to find homes. You're getting associated with zoos. You're finding people who have the largest tanks in the United States, this and that. And it, you know, it takes your toll on you after a while.
Yeah, it certainly does. Not to mention, you know, we're working with 5 different public aquariums now. Our favorite is new public aquariums opening up, like Electric City in Pennsylvania. They just opened up, and we supplied them with so many big fish. They came out here, and they took, like, I think it was 15 Paku, like 7 Niger cats, 7 or 8 iridescent sharks that were 3 foot. What else we got? Big tiger shovel noses, big red tails. I mean, we loaded them up, but you know what? In that situation, they had a 35,000-gallon South American rainforest tank that they were filling up. So these fish that I have here, I may have a 4,400-gallon, but I'm telling you, a 35,000-gallon with a vet on call is a better situation for this fish. So what we try and do is keep the two biggest fish here on display so we can show people how big they get, and the rest we donate to public aquariums or zoos. A lot of the little fish we give away to our members on Ohio Fish Rescue. We never charge for our fish. We give them away to make sure they have a good home.
And another thing, while you're talking about Electric City, most people, you know, chime in and they're like, oh, you always keep the good fish for yourself. But in reality, you know, we offer a service to people that we will keep your name pet. We, you know, you can come back, visit them at any point in your life. So a lot of people that have these not nicer fish do donate them, and they want to come back and see them. But in this case, we had a 26-inch Arapaima and a 24-inch Tigrinus catfish. That's, you know, a $1,000 catfish, and a 26-inch Arapaima, he's probably, you know, $500 or so. We went ahead and gave them straight to Electric City because it was a better home for them than we could provide, and they weren't a named pet, and the guy was just simply ecstatic that it was going to a 35,000-gallon tank.
Yeah, he was very happy.
That's awesome to hear. So what are some of the most commonly donated fish species?
The most common is Oscars and Paku. Paku, now I love the fish species. They're very smart. They're very, like, personable. If you own a Paku, they'll know when you come home from work. They'll know when it's time to eat, and they'll come over and be happy to be by you. They're very smart, but they are the bane of my existence. Everybody, see, here's the problem. You go into Walmart and you buy a 10-gallon tank, you can buy baby red-bellied pacus that look like piranha, and everybody thinks they're so cute. Well, they buy 3 or 4 of them. Well, these things get up to 30, 33 inches and, you know, close to 200 pounds. They're huge fish. Walmart should not be selling them without a warning label, period. I think that nobody should sell pacu without a special order. If you want pacu and you have a 1,500-gallon tank, sure, you can order it, and it'll be there in 7 days or whatever. But they should not be available in Walmart where you can go in and buy a 10-gallon tank and 4 Paku. It's ridiculous. And here's the problem, and you'll understand as soon as I say this. This one guy, I went and picked up a 28-inch Paku in a 125-gallon tank. Now, a 125-gallon tank is only 18 inches from front to back. So this 28-inch Paku had to put his nose in the bottom of the tank and his tail up in the top other corner of the tank and shimmy and shake and do all that to turn around. It was horrible living conditions for him. But the guy, he decided, you know, I want him to have a better home. He called us up, and then here's the problem. He called me up, and I take the fish, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to find it a home and this and that. And then he goes this. He said these words, and I will never forget that. I am so glad you guys are around. I'm so glad that you can take these fish. I can go to the store and buy 4 more and grow them out. And when they're big, I can just call you. I was like floored. No, this is not what we're here for. It was crazy. Our best thing that we do is if you have a fish that you've had for 10 years and he's really too big for the tank and you feel bad for him and you can't afford a bigger tank, he's a named family pet. Well, if you donate your named family pet to us, we'll keep it here forever. He won't go to the zoos. He won't go to nowhere. He will stay here. And all of our tanks are full of named family pets. And you can come visit him anytime you want and see that he's doing good and he's grown bigger and he's in with others of his kind and he's happy. It's a great thing. I really like that aspect of it.
That's awesome. So what kind of fish are you currently keeping now?
We have, let me see, probably 7 red-tail cats.
Well, I mean, if you want to go in entirety, there's probably over 200 species of fish out there. I can sit here and jabber off names all day long if you want me to.
Go ahead. Let's start.
You know, we can start with the rare cats that we have. We have, you know, Planiceps cats. We have Tigrinus. We have Journeys cats. We have Periba. We have Snow White arrows. We have regular silver arrow ones that people donated. We have every species of gar except the Cuban gar. We have black diamond stingrays, matoro stingrays, mantilla stingrays. There's hybrid stingrays of all them species there.
Go ahead and name all the cichlids, Josh.
Oh, you won't catch me naming all them. I'll murder them names. I don't claim to be a cichlid expert. We, you know, we're monster fish experts here. So we have been getting a lot of, you know, smaller cichlids and fish like that that we necessarily don't know the names of, but we've been trying to learn along the way. Just like we just posted a video of someone just donated a bunch of cichlids to us, and we didn't really know the names of all of them, so we gave it a chance for our members on YouTube to go ahead
to teach
and school us.
Us
a little bit. So we went ahead, we pulled each fish out in the net, and we numbered them, you know, one through whatever it was. And
45.
You can go ahead and, you know, if we don't know it, you here's your chance to tell us what this fish is.
And that worked out great. But we do have like 4-foot Niger cats. We have 3-foot iridescent sharks. We have black-eared Perun sharks. We have black belt cichlids in there. We have Buttocopher eyed tilapias, jaguar cats or jaguar fish.
MBU puffers. We have giraffe cats. We have severums. We have
parrotfish,
tinfoil barbs, African arowana. We have
Fly River turtle.
Yep, and then we have a lot of color morphs too. We have platinum gars. We have xanthic knives, albino knives. Those are coral knives, of course. We have regular African knives. We have Abba knives. There is, you know, there's this little cool. It's called a Mormid longirostris, and it's a African, they call it a bottlenose dolphin, but it's actually like a type of, the elephant nose, but they get like 30 inches long, and you can teach them to swim through hoops and play with balls and all this thing. But
they retrieve balls for you and play with you. Yeah, they're great.
But you can only have one in the tank because they get pretty aggressive. So we have one of them that are coming to us shortly, and I think that'll be a good, you know, thing for our followers to follow along, and we can have this little, you know, bottlenose dolphin swimming around the tank, playing with balls, swimming through hoops, and it's just a neat little thing. Other fish, there's armadas. Those are the vampire tetras.
We have them vampire candoon shrimp. We have a bunch of apple snails that just keep breeding. We can't stop them from breeding. We have royal clown knives, albino clown knives, short-bodied Perun sharks. We have high fin black-eared Perun sharks. I mean, we can go on and on. We don't want to bore you. Stop naming this fish, Josh.
You have a huge variety of fish, which is pretty cool. I'm actually a subscriber to your YouTube channel, so I know a lot of the fish that you have, and you have some great videos, so I definitely encourage the listeners to check out your YouTube. When did you guys start your YouTube?
Well, actually, the YouTube was started a long time ago when I was into cars with my son, and then I forgot about it for like 10 years. And then when we started up, you know, gathering all these fish in these tanks, I just started putting a couple of videos on there here and there once every like 4 months. And then when I started the fish rescue, I started actually working on the YouTube channel. So now we've got a bunch of videos, and it shows that we've been on there for like 12 years and we got, you know, 10,000 subscribers. But them 10,000 are from the last like 4 months, because before then I only had like 700.
Nice. You put out great content on your YouTube channel. I really enjoy your YouTube channel.
Well, thank you. We try and show everybody the hassles we go through. And then it's hard to remember the scientific name of every fish and then, you know, then know what you're talking about and then know all the diseases. So whenever something happens, we try and put it on there and teach people as we're learning and that kind of thing. And, you know, I've never had to use the medicine kanamycin before until we got this fish in here that had, what was that called, Josh?
Wasn't it like septicemia? Or
septicemia.
Something?
Yes. And, you know, I bought this medicine and all it ended up doing was saving this. It was a 30-inch tiger shovel nose and he was just blood streaked all on his belly. It was horrible. I wish the people wouldn't have waited so long to bring him to us, but I did my 30 minutes on the internet and found out exactly what it was and what medicine needed to be because he wouldn't take food. So I couldn't feed him intravenous, medication, or not intravenous, but you know, where he'd eat and he'd swallow it and it'd be medication in his belly. I had to use a medication to put antibiotics into the water and it would be absorbed in his skin. Well, that was kanamycin, and it cost me $70, but I tell you what, within a day that fish was so much better, and the next 3 days he lived life a whole lot better than he did when he came in sick. I mean, it was just amazing difference. So we posted all kinds of things about that on there, and that's something everybody should have on hand just in case.
Nice. What kind of illnesses are back here?
What's that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, what kind of illnesses does that medicine cure?
Septicemia, mostly. Anything that would be cured by antibiotics, it's the only medicine out there that will be absorbed through the skin. Every other medicine has to be taken while they eat their food. You can mix it with their food or put it in their food, but this fish wasn't eating. So it's the only medicine I found out there that can be absorbed through the skin. So you can put it in the water and, you know, it helps them out if they're not eating. They're past the point of they're no longer eating.
To elaborate on that a little bit, it's all gram-negative bacterial infections. So there, you know, there's medications out there that'll heal, you know, gram-positive that you can ingest, and that's, you know, things like erythromycin, metronidazole, stuff like that. But there's only a few gram-negative antibacterial medications, and kanamycin is one of the best.
That's good to hear. So how can people donate fish to you guys?
Either call us, get a hold of us. Now, see, there's a Facebook page on Facebook called Ohio Fish Rescue. You don't want to get a hold of that. There's also a forum that we talk daily on called Ohio Fish Rescue 501c3 or our YouTube channel. I'll answer both of them. The page we don't use too much. It's pretty much a dead page. But the Ohio Fish Rescue 501c3, we talk daily on to many, many, many people. Contact us, and if you're close enough, you can either drop it off or we can pick it up. If you drop it off, you can see the tanks and the fish. People usually stay an hour or two and are just in awe, saying, you know, things like their local zoo isn't nowhere near as nice as this and blah, blah, blah. It's we have some big tanks. We have 17,000 gallons of water running now, and we have the addition being built, which is almost done. Well, actually, the addition is done. We're taking out the wall in between, adding another 45-foot by 11-foot onto our fish room. Well, we've got 6,200 gallons of tanks set up ready to go in there. Tanks we've gotten from, like,
SeaWorld
when they closed down, and what are the tanks we got? The tank we got from Kentucky, from that closed down car lot, we went down there and got a 2,200 gallon tank that I guess the feds raided these guys. They were in trouble for embezzling money and this and that, and they were selling off all the cars. Well, we had known the place because of the tank. We went down there and we got the tank for $1,500. It was crazy, but I had no way of taking it home. Again, we had to use a car trailer, and I had to rent a forklift, and we got this thing back here. And now the addition because Strongsville won't let me have a door wider than 6 foot, we had to put the tank in there on top of the slab and build the room around it. So we've got a bunch of tanks getting ready to get set up now as soon as we take this wall out. And today is the day I've been waiting on. We got the permit to take out the wall. The city has been fighting me for over a month now, and finally the permit went through, and I can put a beam in there and take out the wall. So that's what we're going to be working on the next. Thank you. Thank you.
So how many tanks do you have up and running right now that have fish in them?
We have the 4,400, the 1,000 gallon, the 3,000 gallon, the 1,500 gallon. We have a 750, another 750, a 550, a 350, a 1,000 gallon. Am I missing any, Josh?
There's numerous small tanks that we have single fish in. There's 80 gallons. There's 40 gallons. There's, 125 gallons.
The double 72 gallon.
So, there's just fish scattered all over. You know, if we can squeeze in a tank here, if we can shift this over 4 inches, push that back 6 inches, you bet it. We're going to set up another tank right here.
What do you guys plan on keeping in your new aquariums that you set up?
In the addition we built. Now, as soon as we take out this wall, we're going to have another 11 foot. And we have a 2,000 gallon outside, a 1,000 gallon, a 2,200, a 1,000 gallon, and I believe it's a 750. We have to take measurements on it, the newest tank we got. But it's about 6,200 gallons we're getting ready to set up to add to. Because the biggest problem I have is the pacu. Now, for every 10 pacu I pick up, I might get a red tail or I might get a tiger shovel nose. And then I get another 10 pacu. Well, the zoos and public aquariums have stopped taking them from me because it's the same thing. So if anybody out there, any of your listeners see or hear of a new public aquarium open up around you, let me know. We can stock them up. But anyways, what I want to do is build only a pacu tank, just pacu in that tank, because then I can feed them mixed vegetables and that kind of stuff, cucumbers and broccoli. And it's actually be cheaper for us because right now they're such pigs, they eat all the shrimp that I throw in for the other fish before it hits the floor. So I have to feed them and make them stuffed to get the other fish to be able to eat because there's a whole fight of food going on in every tank. Some people are like more aggressive and some fish are less aggressive and you got to make sure everybody gets fed. So I want to make one tank, nothing but pacu, and I can feed them they're omnivores. So I can feed them, mixed vegetables and all that kind of stuff. And then when I feed shrimp, the more expensive food to the other tanks, it would actually lower the food bill on me, giving them their own tank.
That's a great idea because pacus eat everything.
Mm-hmm. They eat everything, including plants and rubber hoses and airlines and
heater cords.
Right.
Just like red tail cats eat gravel.
Yep.
We don't have our red tails. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was saying we had that a time or two where, fish have swallowed gravel and all of a sudden you notice a fish has a big old belly and it starts, pooping out gravel. And you're like, where did that come from?
Well, you got to explain that a little more. We have a bunch of tanks that have tile floors in them. We don't do gravel no more. For one, the size of the tank, like our 4,400 gallon is, 14 foot long, 7 foot from front to back and 6 foot tall. How many times do you want to clean the gravel in there? You know what I'm saying? So our 1,000 gallon tank has got 12 inch tile in there and we have a bubble wall. What it does is the tile don't let dirt and detritus, accumulate down there. And the bubble wall keeps the whole water churning and the filters are able to take all the dirt out. We no longer have to clean gravel. Plus, none of your fish eat gravel. So when we move these fish around and we take this fish from over here and put them over there, and then all of a sudden we're like, where did that gravel come from? That was that fish pooping it out.
So what are some of your favorite fish that you guys are keeping?
One of my favorites is the black-eared Perun sharks. They're a relative of the Mekong cat, and they can get up to, 10 foot long. They're more aggressive eating than the iridescent sharks. They look like an iridescent shark with a black ear right on their gill. And they have high fins, so their fins are taller. They have, little tentacles hanging off of them. That's one of my favorites there. My biggest favorite was my Abba knife, but I fought so hard and so long on this because we gave it up to a public aquarium. The problem was my Abba knife was 34 inches long, and he was as big around as my arm. And he was a beautiful specimen, but he took up all of the 500-gallon tank by himself. You couldn't put nothing else in there. He'd kill it. So he was a special species tank. We, as a rescue, need the tank space. So I had to give up one of my favorites and give him a better home at a public aquarium. And now we use the 500-gallon for all cichlids, and there's probably 50, 60 cichlids in there. What's your favorite, Josh?
Well, it's kind of hard to choose. I'd say definitely the Arapaima are up there in the top three because they're just monstrous eaters, and you can just see the sheer power that when they, they attack that food, they hear that popping sound at the top of the water. You just send a little bit of a chill down your back. But me myself, I'm a catfish guy, so if I don't have the catfish, I have to buy it. And I'd say, the Tigrinus is up there. They're, a very elegant looking catfish. But, I personally like my Goonch cat. He's just got that devil looking face with the big teeth. And, they definitely get big.
I love catfish, nice, too. Catfish are one of the most interesting fish that have a lot of personalities. I love the red-tailed cat the most.
We probably have about, 8 to 10 red tail cats right here now at the rescue that are all named pets that people want to come back and see. We got Charlie, Smasher, we have Pablo, we have One-Eyed Willie.
Jack.
Yeah, there's the names go on. We can take you out there and just name fish. And so some of these names are just off the wall, but we remember them and we love them like
they're wait. Own. We have to mention the one name. This lady, she's actually a moderator for our group. Her name is Kimberly Sue. She had a big giant gourami in her tank in 75-gallon. And she's like, oh, my God, I see you have a giant gourami there, and mine's getting too big for my tank. And she really loved this fish. She cried and cried and cried when she had to give it up. So she gave it to us to give it a better home. And we did a release video. He went in the water. And all of a sudden, he swam back all the way to one side, then all the way to the other. And then he went up to the other giant gourami and, nestled right beside of him. And then they swam together. Kimberly Sue, she just cried and cried and cried that her baby's got a friend to hang out with. And he was able to swim like that because he never swam like that in her 75. And he's been here now probably, 2 years? And I didn't realize how big he had grown. She sent me a video of her holding her hand up next to him the day she donated them, and us showing the videos that we do and how big he's gotten. Well, his name is, now get this, Sir Heisenberg von Fishface III. I do not name these fish. So
his best buddy's Bert, right?
Yes, Bert is a giant gourami that we got from a guy that used to run a rescue called Monster Fish Rescue. And he closed that down, and we ended up going and getting Bert from him just as, we had no idea of being a rescue at the time. But we go around because we had big tanks, and we'd take everybody's big fish. And now Bert is one of the stars of the show here. Him and Sir Heisenberg, they hang out together.
The iridescent shark Schwarzenegger is pretty cool, too.
Oh, yeah. You won't find a bigger iridescent shark out there. Schwarzenegger is, he's just amazing. He is so, he looks like if you had a fish that worked out and pumped up, that would be Schwarzenegger. He's amazingly looking. He's all built and looking good. And we've had him for 17 years here.
Nice. He's had a great home for all those years.
Yeah. Well, Schwarzenegger, he's like a vacuum. He goes down, and now he likes his pellets along with the shrimp. So when I feed the pellets, he'll come up top, and he'll just suck up from the top. And you can just see all this water pouring in his mouth, and all the pellets go with it. And then he'll go at the bottom, and he'll suck up all the shrimp. And it's just so neat to see. I mean, once you see these guys eat, how could you not love them, you know?
I agree. I also love your wide bar silver dollars, the Mileyish Kumbaki.
Yes, they are. We actually had the Cleveland Zoo here, wanted them from us. But, you know, we have certain fish that are ours, that like my son buys me. And we have fish that we had here before the rescue. Like, you know, Schwarzenegger has been here 17 years ago. We just started the rescue last year. So, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, I'd like to take him, you know, and put him in my house. You're rehoming him, right? I'm like, no, there's a lot that we don't rehome. We don't rehome our fish, and we don't rehome the named pets, family pets. That way the family can come and visit their pet here. We do rehome. We ask everybody that brings fish here or that we pick up, do they mind if we find them a place in a, you know, aquarium, a zoo, or a private owner? Like, we got one guy that his name is Brian. He bought a 5,000-gallon tank, and he's been filling it up with a lot of fish from us. And he loves his fish, and he's got the money to spend on it, so why not? We've given him some tiger shovel nose, some pacus, some red tails, some Niger cats, and he's got a couple big dovi in there. And he has been spoiling these fish. His dovi grew bigger than our, I gave him the smaller of the two. We've got one here, and his is now bigger than ours because he is just spoiling the tar out of them fish. He feeds them twice a day and just nonstop.
That's good.
Well, being a rescue, we feed the fish to, you know, survive. And, you know, our fish are big and bulky, so they eat good. But we're not, you know, babying them by any means. You know, it costs me $460 a month in just food. And then we're talking $400 electric and $450 in gas and probably $250 in water and another $170 or so in sewer. So, I mean, we don't overfeed, the way some people would, but we do feed to survive for sure. And they grow and get big here and they're doing good. But, you know, the problem is the cost. I mean, eventually it comes down to cost.
Yeah, I can imagine it must cost a lot to run a fish rescue.
Well, we figure about $16.50 or so a month. And, you know, I've been doing that myself anyways, and I've been paying for everything all myself. And now we're getting about $200 a month in donations from our followers on Facebook, which I definitely appreciate. But I just spent $30,000 on the addition out of my money to open up and put the other tanks that I bought, you know, in there. And, you know, it gets hard. And at this point, I'm at the size that I can't build no more. I mean, we built that 3,000-gallon tank, and now I put on the addition, and now we're getting ready to build. No one knows this. You're the first to hear this. We have a pool set up, and it's 14 foot by 7 foot. Well, at that point, as soon as the addition gets opened up and we got the beams in, we're going to have 31 foot wide by 10 foot deep by 6 foot tall is going to be our next wooden build. And we have the acrylic waiting for it. And it's going to be a 12,000-gallon tank. As soon as that's done, I can't expand no more. I'm basically done.
Wow. It's going to be a huge aquarium, 12,000 gallons in the pool.
Yeah. Well, the pool is a different story. Now the pool is 58,000 gallons and, you know, I just put it on my last video that we're going to turn that into a natural living pond. And here's the thing. We got contacted by the pond guy, Greg Woodstock, and he says he wants to help. Excuse me. I don't know what he means by help. I mean, you know, we're going to find that out. He's coming out here. He's flying in on the 17th. So we're going to find out what kind of help he's wanting to offer. And we're going to turn our pool, which is a chlorinated pool, which is I no longer chlorinate. I actually have fish in there now, but it's been 2.5 months. I haven't added no chlorine, and I've had 4 goldfish in there forever. I have a mechanical filter, and I have a small biological filter on there. Now, my idea was to build all along the one end where the pool cover goes. We're going to have 3 foot by 25 foot. I was going to put a liner there and build a river there, fill it full of pea gravel for bacterial growth, and then natural live pond plants all the way through, which will eat the nitrates out of the water. And, you know, it's basically how my pond works outside. I have a bog filter on it, and it's been running for 4 years. So I was going to turn this into a naturally, what do you want to call it? A natural living pond that you can swim in, because I mean, I have no place to put these big Pima once they get big. I mean, right now they can go into 12,000 gallon. They're only 1.5 feet, but after they grow to, you know, 6-8 feet, where are you going to put them? Well, in the 58,000 gallon pool, and we'll swim with them.
That would be fun to swim alongside our Pumas. Our Pumas.
Yes, they're majestic creatures. They're beautiful. And they don't bother anybody. I mean, if you go where they are in the wild, you go into the pond, they'll swim away from you. They don't want no part of you. Yes, Jeremy Wade got hurt by one, but that's because they're picking him up and they're trying to hold him with 4 guys holding him, and they're powerful. And he smacked his tail and smacked his face and hit Jeremy Wade in the chest, and it did hurt him. But that's because you're trying to hold him. Trust me, we're not going to try and hold him. We're just going to swim with him.
It still sounds like fun.
Yes, sir.
My last question for you is, what is your advice to beginner fish keepers and those who continue to buy large growing fish?
Okay. Everybody should do your due diligence on the internet. Please look up the size of the fish that are in the store. Don't go to the store like you don't grocery shop when you're hungry. Don't go to the store and know you're going to leave with fish. You buy a tank and you go home with fish, you're going to end up killing them because the tank needs to mature, needs to have to be cycled, and all that. So take your time, look around, do your due diligence, and figure out what fish will go with what fish. Please stop buying Paku. That's they're great fish if you have the tank to keep them forever. But they're the worst thing that has happened to us. I mean, right now I have probably 19 Paku that are named pets, and I have 6 Paku I can give away, but they're 24 inches. I can't find houses for them. I've filled up all the public zoos. I've filled up all the public aquariums. And unless I start shipping, which I'm going to need to start, you know, learning to do, I'm basically out of luck here. So please stop buying Paku. Now, red-tailed cat, it'll take 15 years for it to get, you know, 3 foot. So they're cute. Go ahead and buy them. I'll take them in. I can find them homes. Everybody loves them. Tiger Shovel Nose, the same thing. But please stop buying Paku.
That's very well said. I would like to personally say thank you for all that you do for the aquarium hobby. You take in these large growing monster fish, save them, and give them a forever large home. I absolutely respect and admire that, and it's an example of how the fish keeping hobby should be. Fish keepers helping other fish keepers.
Exactly. You know what? I was actually tainted against the world because, you know, I raised 3 kids, put them through college. I got my wife and me, and we lived up in Cleveland, and people were stealing stuff from us. People were jumping the fence and trying to take our dog. And I started hating the world. And then when I got into this fish keeping world, I have found so many caring, beautiful people out there that just care. It has really, you know, just rebuilt my faith in humanity, basically. The fish keeping world is just an amazing bunch of caring people, and I love it.
I agree 100% with you. I would like to thank you so much for being a wonderful guest today.
Well, you're welcome. You can call us anytime, check on checkups and seeing how we're doing. And, we're always, building and getting bigger. And, we have no problem if you want to call in and check on us in, 6 months or so.
We'll definitely do that. And next time I'm in Illinois, I'll have to check out your, I'll have to check out your
Ohio. You've got a upstanding invitation. You can come here anytime. I got a spare room. If you want to drive and then stay the night and then drive home, that's, no problem, buddy.
That sounds good. We'll have a lot of fun looking at monster fish.
Maybe you can put the mermaid suit on and go swimming and clean the glass in the tanks.
I would love that, actually.
All right, bud. It was very, very nice talking to you.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, bud. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Well, that's the end of our great interview with Ohio Fish Rescue. Big thank you to Big Rich Price and Josh Price for coming on the show. It was an honor and a privilege to interview two fish keepers that I have a lot of respect for. So once again, thank you, Big Rich and Josh Price, for coming on the show and telling us about your wonderful organization, Ohio Fish Rescue. I want to say thank you to all the listeners that tuned into today's show. You guys are amazing. I love all my fish keeping listeners out there. So thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to this episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Please follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, and other podcast platforms that we are on. Like our Facebook page, the Aquarium Network, and join our Facebook fan group, Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Also, be sure to check out Ohio Fish Rescue, subscribe to their YouTube channel, and join their Facebook fish group, Ohio Fish Rescue 501c3. With that being said, have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you on the next episode
Alex here
of Aquarium. Wishing everybody a happy holiday season, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast celebrates Christmas in style with some wonderful Christmas-themed shows. Get some great presents this year as Aqua Alex interviews some wonderful tropical fish-keeping special guests. Don't forget, on December 29th, 2018, Aqua Alex will reveal the best of 2018 for Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. Go vote for the best of 2018 by going to our Facebook page, The Aquarium Network. You decide who the best guest of 2018 is. You decide what the best episode of 2018 was, and much more. Go vote right now. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Ho, ho, ho.
On Patreon. Show me, Aqua Alex, some love. I put a lot of time, effort, and dedication into every episode of Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. It's a work of art, a work of spoken tropical fish-keeping art. Show me some love by hitting up my Patreon page and donating as much as you can. Your value, your listen, and your support matters to me. So check me out on Patreon.com, Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. That's Patreon.com/ Aquarium Hobbyist Podcast. www.patreon.com. facebook.com/aquariumhobbyistpodcast.